My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio. This week, it was, I think, Rahul's turn to pick, and he wanted to have us watch a Ugandan action movie, but then Ronald vetoed it. So instead, for some reason, we watched Spawn, the 1994 film starring Michael Jai White, and some of the worst CGI you will ever see in your life.
Quick clarification, I did not veto the Ugandan film. I just scouted it for us.
Yeah, he scouted it, and based on Ronald's recommendation, we basically all just agreed to just kill it, because even though it probably would have been funny, we didn't think we could create enough material out of it.
The issue essentially was that it seemed to be in on the joke of itself, which is a great thing for a movie like that to be, but also would make making fun of it pretty hard.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyways, with that out of the way, let's go around and would you recommend this? I will go first because this is my podcast and you nerds will shut up and take it. So I think that there might be the ingredients of a good Spawn movie here, but this movie did not get anywhere near it. The CGI is truly atrocious, not just, like in that 90s way of like, you know, the CGI was never good, but it's like uniquely bad even for the time period. Michael Jai White is a really good casting for Spawn, but they misuse him horribly. Notably, he basically doesn't do any karate, which is the whole point of Michael Jai White, I feel. Well, that and that he's very funny. The action scenes are incompetent, and John Leguizamo is trying his heart out, but does not belong in this movie at all. Raul, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I would not recommend this movie. I've always wanted to see it, which is why I recommended it.
Another childhood dream come true.
I've heard whispers here and there of this
whispers of a 90s Spawn movie.
Villain slash hero, but I mean, it was kind of charming in a way because it was like just like the CGI was almost like YouTube poop level of CGI. You know that there's Ronald has this skeleton video that like. He just, like, pisses himself every time he watches it.
Yeah, the
it
famous...
honestly reminded me of that.
The famous Peaceful Skeleton Village attacked by helicopter.
it actually like does look the same level of quality.
Yeah. And Ronald, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, this is definitely a movie that I wanted to like. I like the idea. I like the start of the aesthetics. And, like, it feels very 90s. Like, it's, like, a very 90s fantasy movie where it's, like, super grim, dark, edgy, a bit kind of, like, Christian-based for some reason. I haven't read a lot of the Spawn comics or anything like that. But they do seem appealing, and I had some of the toys when I was a kid, which were super cool. And I kind of remember enjoying this movie as a 7-year-old, but, like... Yeah, I just can't recommend it. It's just not very good. There are some parts that I kind of enjoyed, so it's a light not recommend. But I only kind of enjoyed it because it was kind of terrible. So I don't know. It's hard to give a recommendation for this movie. So this is a not recommend for me.
Yeah. And anyway, so we've been having a lot of issues with the summary. I feel that the idea of it is sound, but no one has ever successfully summarized the thing in the time allotted. So the guy who thought of the summary this time is getting put to the test. I am going to attempt to summarize this in 3 minutes. Remember, you guys, you got to mute aside from making the noise when I'm out of time. And Ronald, can I have 3 minutes? Yeah, exactly. It's going to be very fun, except Ronald, the person with the timer has to do it, not you, Raul.
Okay, 3 minutes on the clock.
Okay, give me a countdown.
Countdown. All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
We open on a total badass Black Ops guy just breaking into a tower. We open on a narration that doesn't fucking matter about like the forces of hell needing a hell spawn. But anyways, then the movie fucking starts and this totally awesome Black Ops dude breaks into a aircraft traffic control tower and karate chops a bunch of dudes. And oh shit, it's Michael Jai White. And he whips out a missile launcher and this missile launcher is very smart and he uses it to like target the hell out of a plane and blow up a bunch of dudes. It later turns out it's the ambassador of something or other. But then he gets home and his buddy is like, you know, you killed like 20 innocent civilians. And he's like, wait, what? That place was supposed to be clear. So he goes to his boss, who's played by Martin Sheen, and he's like, I want to quit. And his boss is like, you're not allowed to quit. But then he goes, oh, and also the dude is played by Michael Jai White. Michael Jai White goes, I really want to quit. And his boss is like, fine, but you got to do one more mission. And Michael Jai White goes on this mission like an idiot. And it turns out the mission is a setup because Martin Sheen was told by an evil clown that he needs to kill Michael Jai White so that he can get raised from hell and lead hell's armies. So Michael Jai White gets burned alive and goes to hell for 5 years. And then he wakes up and it's like no time at all has passed. He kind of wanders around looking super burned up and weird. And he's got like these hell powers. He meets an evil clown who keeps doing like sub Robin Williams shtick on him. He goes back to his wife, but she totally remarried and another man is raising his son. He tries to get revenge on Martin Sheen, whatever, one of the Sheens, the good Sheen. And it doesn't work out for him. He murders his sexy lady, but can't murder him. He keeps getting all these weird powers from his armor. And Michael Sheen, for some reason, decides to get this thing implanted in his heart where if his heart stops, it will end all human life. And then the clown tries to trick Spawn, Michael Jai White, whatever, into murdering him. But Spawn eventually is like, no. They go to hell. There's a lot of fighting. It doesn't really matter. Spawn uses his laser eyes to pull the thing out of the guy's heart. They go to hell. It's horrible CGI. Michael Jai White teams up with a perfidious Englishman and eventually kind of escapes from hell, kills the devil. And I think Martin Sheen goes to prison or something. And Spawn decides to spend the rest of his life fighting the forces of hell. And also a lot of time is spent with John Leguizamo as an evil clown eating out of the garbage and farting. And how am I on time, Ronald?
Still got an extra 30 seconds to spare.
Okay, let's see what else I want to tell you guys about. Oh, there's a sexy lady played by Melinda Clark who's super evil and a Black Ops badass, but she doesn't get nude in this movie. If you want to see her nude, you gotta go watch that Return of the Living Dead where she plays the hot zombie lady. So yeah, that's fucking Spawn. Oh, and there's also a scene where an old man is getting ready for battle, so he pulls the thinnest piece of chainmail you can imagine over his head, like you pulling your jacket up to try to get out of the rain. Okay, I'm done.
You said that he killed the devil, and I don't remember that.
He kills Malabolgia, who is essentially the devil.
Wait.
I think he just escapes from hell, but he does kill the clown. Several times.
He didn't kill Malbolge, or however you say that.
Well, they did something to him.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Well, I guess I'm
they
not
fought
sure.
him. I mean,
they did. No, he didn't even fight him.
Okay, I'm going to level with you guys. That scene to me was because of the poor quality of the CGI used, impossible to discern what was attempting to be conveyed.
I definitely agree. I think that's the weakest part of this whole movie is just because, like, I don't hate the look of the CGI if they had embraced it more. They kind of had this weird, I mean, it's pretty terrible looking, but if they had just like embraced like, okay, it's like a, you know, a really shitty CGI, let's just accept that it's shitty CGI and let's move with it. But they try to do all these like fancy cuts between CGI and then some practical effects to make it like look more believable, I guess. And it ended up just being fucking impossible to discern what was going on.
I mean, I think that they had a Violator puppet. The Violator is the evil clown who turns into a monster, right? Because there are some scenes of him where he looks real. And my question is just how bad must the puppet have looked for them to decide that this CGI was better?
Well, they definitely had like a full head at some points too, or mouth or something that they would that they tried to show on camera. But like the whole, I don't even necessarily think that the puppet was bad. I think that they just wanted to do CGI. This was like one of the early adopters of like, hey, CGI is the future of filmmaking. This is what it seems to me. CGI is the future of filmmaking. We're going to like just do a shit ton and it's going to be great. And they just didn't realize like, yeah, we're not ready for this yet. It's just not quite there yet. There is some stuff that they do that it's like, okay, I can see why they were going for this. It just looks kind of awful, but it's almost there.
Some of the transformation effects where they're like just warping something that exists, like John Leguizamo's head, for instance, or the effect where Spawn puts his mask on are kind of good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyways, you guys want to get to some high points, such as there are in this movie? All right, I'm going to seize the obvious one. Michael Jai White is singularly ill-served by this movie because he gets one scene where you get to see his handsome Michael Jai White face and one scene where he gets to do actual karate, which is, like, you know, really good. But I'm still glad that he got to star in this movie. He gets a couple of good one-liners off. There's one where he gets, like, shot a bunch and he, like, looks down and his the holes in him are just regenerating and he just goes, damn.
He's just like, he's...
But they don't really know what to do with him in this movie. But still, it's nice to see Michael Jai White in things. Anyone else got some high points?
High point is definitely Martin Sheen. Way too good for this movie. Way too good. Like, his character isn't that interesting or anything. He's pretty much just like a basic villain with the motivation behind his actions. It's like pretty tenuous. But I mean, Martin Sheen is just... so good. Like, I would watch him in anything. So yeah, he was a high point for sure.
Aside from that, there are a couple of things in this movie that are so stupid that they, like, work as unintended comedy. So for instance, at one point Spawn is about to kill some guy, and the guy's like, why are you dressed like that? Is it Halloween? And Spawn goes, where you're going, every day is Halloween.
Every day is Halloween. And it's like, Is that what hell is?
You're just wearing a mask? I don't know. And then there's the scene where Martin Sheen goes, you can't trust anyone. You can't trust anybody. And the person he specifically can't trust is an incredibly evil looking demon cloud who's trying to make him destroy the world.
That is my high point, that Martin Sheen's character was in cahoots with the demon clown. Like
he knows the guy is completely evil and from hell. And then he's shocked.
Like, what? I really didn't get his motivation as a character. Like, he wanted the world to, like, be beholden to him, and he was using the evil clown to do that.
I guess he was just like, well, okay. I mean, okay. Here, think about this. You have a life of crime, and then you find out that hell is real, and you can join forces with them, where you're basically consigned to, anyways. You may as well just go with it.
Yeah, right? You may as well join management. Was that his plan?
I think so, because he said something about, like, oh, I'll rule the world and then I'll kill this stupid clown. And it's like, well, I guess he had some deal with Malabogia. I don't know.
I have no clue.
It's actually weird to me to think that demons can die, apparently. Like, in this movie, they can, because it's so totally cool to kill a demon. But in general, the idea of killing a demon is, like, weird to me, because they're associated with the afterlife. So killing something that's eternal in the afterlife has weird theological implications, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that, you know, the people who think about this stuff has really thought through what immortality is.
Yeah. I think they just need there to be consequences for demons on the mortal plane, because otherwise they could just go back infinitely, right? Every time they're banished, they can just go back.
Yeah, here's another high point. When Spawn goes to hell and the devil and Malabogia is like, all right, I need you to lead my hell army, and if you betray me, I will kill you. And it's like, is that any different than where he's at right now? Like, he's already dead. Like, that's not a threat. Like, you get to go back, but if you mess up, I'll kill you again. Like, that is not a worse position than he's in already. What an empty threat.
I love the reason they chose him in the first place, because, like, he was, like, a super good G.I. Joe commando dude, and they're like, that one, we want that one. Like,
yeah, I know.
Look at anyone else. Like, there are probably people already in hell, like,
or that evil lady who's apparently just as good at fighting as fucking Michael Jai White and already on board with this whole hell plan.
Yeah, like, I just don't get why they wouldn't recruit her, considering she beats him twice. Like,
or the clown. Honestly, he was a pretty good fighter. I mean,
well, he seemed kind of bitter about not being chosen.
Yeah, and so I mean, it was, he's also a fine, like, choice, right? I would think so.
I think they need to have some dumbass line about, like, only a man of pure but tarnished heart can lead the armies of hell. Because as it is, it appears to exist entirely for the sake of the plot, which is true of everything that happens in every movie, I guess, to some extent. But you got to cover it up more.
Yeah, I think there was one line that is their best explanation, which is like, oh, if we didn't get him, the other side would have recruited him. And, like, that's,
oh,
like, the
for
only
the war.
Yeah, that's right. Like the only somewhat explanation of like, oh, okay, it kind of makes sense why they needed him, because they didn't want to fight against him.
Do you remember the scene where he sucks in that locket into his heart?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was
the movie doesn't remember it. Yeah. But I do.
But I was like, maybe he's good, you know, when I saw that. I guess.
I mean, I don't think he was ever bad. That's
yeah.
the thing.
Yeah.
He appears to be about as good of a person as you can be while being an assassin for the A6, which is like a CIA stand-in. He complains about collateral damage a lot. And, well, I guess that's about as good as you're going to get out of this, but still.
I mean, he killed a lot of people.
But he's not on board with this whole thing, really, once it's explained to him.
I think Violator, the clown, said that he has the highest kill count in human history, which I don't fully understand
that
how that
seems
possible.
Unlikely.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I mean, you'd think that it would kind of be like a three-way tie between like the people who were on the Enola Gay or whatever, the atom bomb guys, you know?
Yeah, right. No, we
or
don't.
Would the president be in charge? Or like,
oh. Yeah, or like Hitler or Stalin? I mean, are they trying to tell
how
us
directly
that,
does it?
How yeah, how directly do you have to go? Because if it indirect at all, then apparently Michael Jai White has murdered 20 million people.
What about Stalin's mom?
Yeah. What about Adam and Eve? Think about all the Jesus. Deaths they caused.
Yeah, man. That's
Is it a crime to kill your own children, though?
Yes.
Yes. What do you think it
Guys,
wasn't?
Good. Philosophical yeah. question. Yeah.
Let's consult the police on that one.
I'm actually kind of curious what your argument is that it isn't.
I got nothing. I was just nothing. My mouth moved faster than my brain. I was like, well, if Adam and Eve kill their own children, is it? Well, yeah, it's still.
If anything, it's worse. Anyways, on to other stuff. Another high point here kind of is John Leguizamo. He's also the worst thing in the movie, because he doesn't belong in the movie. But, I mean, he's basically doing this hyper, like, vulgar version of Robin Williams, the genie, or, Bugs Bunny, whatever, that whole, or Jim Carrey, that whole, like, rubber face, sticky 90s stuff. A lot of pop culture references. A lot of jokes that aren't particularly well constructed, but there's a volume to them, you know. But I gotta give him this. He was committed enough to this role that he ate multiple live insects and like rotting shit. So
did he really eat
maggots? Wait,
he really ate those? He ate the maggots.
Because it was like one shot. And I was like, did they really make him do that? My God.
Wow. That is some commitment to this shitty movie.
He also like spins the entire movie in like a fat suit and like crouched over like... So he's super short the whole time. Like, I think he's just like on his, like basically crouched like in a squat.
Yeah, so the Violator, the character design is that he's very short. And this, for some reason, I'd never seen Spawn before, but I'd watched a documentary on the making of Spawn and some shit stuck with me, which is weird. I don't know why my brain works like that. But anyways, so they wanted John Leguizamo because he was the shtickiest actor in their price range. And they wanted him to be short. So they were doing all this shit where it's like, well, what if we dug a trench and did puppet legs? Or what if we did forced perspective or whatever? And then eventually they're just like, fuck it. What if he crouched? So that's why he's like that.
I think it looks okay. Like, yeah. It doesn't look like he's just crouching most of the time.
They did a good job with the makeup on him. Again, I object to the character's, like, design and stuff. But this is probably the best version of the... Or to the premise of the character being here. But this is a good, like... A committed version. How's that?
I agree. Yeah. Like, I think that John Leguizamo has gotten so much shit for this role. And I just remember seeing so much stuff about how he ruined the movie. And I understand where that comes from, because his character is truly awful. But it is not his fault. It is he does as good of a job as possible, I think, with this. Barring maybe like a comedic legend like Robin Williams, perhaps. But I think he does like as committed of a job as you'll ever see in such a shitty movie. And like, it really sucks for him that it ended up like a lot of the blame for the movie got put on him.
I mean, he doesn't belong in this movie, but it's not like, you know, it's not like if every actor in Hollywood had turned down this role, they would have just cut it from the movie. There's no way he wasn't going to be in here, you know? or the character wasn't going to be in here.
Honestly, he's more in the movie than Spawn is.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just the writing. Like, I don't know why they thought that this character was going to, like, really... Like, I kind of described this character as, in the chat earlier, as Fat Bastard from Austin Powers. if he was put in an edgy, dark, Christian-based action movie, this is what would be the result. It makes no fucking sense. Why is he there? Every time he tries to crack a joke, you're like, this just doesn't feel like it belongs here. So I don't know why it's happening. But yeah, that's what it's like. It's pretty bizarre.
The fact that the jokes are terrible is also not helping things. I wonder, that might be something that falls on him a little bit. But even then, comedy in the 90s was generally not in a very good spot, you know?
Well, and he didn't write the jokes.
I mean, he might have been, it certainly seems like he might have improvised some. I don't know how much, though. We'd have to go get a script, and it's not worth the effort.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, whatever. He's at fault for anything that was written there because it's all bad. And some of the stuff is just like, my God, this is just vile, not funny. Why did you put it in the episode? There's literally a part where he's talking, he farts very loudly, and then he's like, did you hear that, Spawn? And then he rips off his underwear and then he shows it and he's like, skid marks. And there's like shit stains in it. And it's like, why? Why did you think that would be good in there?
Well, that's obviously evil, Ronald.
Yeah, right. It's like,
nothing more evil than making someone look at your poop. Yeah, that's why babies are worse than Hitler.
You shit your pants mid-conversation and then you take them off to show people like evidence that you shit your pants.
It's, yep.
It is just, I don't understand the thinking there. Like, did they think people would be laughing or did they just like want people to be freaked out by how weird this character is? I don't know.
Yeah,
I really don't.
I think maybe it's supposed to be
the reason for why the Malbolge didn't appoint this guy his like point man because he was so annoying.
Yeah, he's like, God, we are not allowing this fucker to lead the army of hell.
Weirdly though, John, there I did get some legit laughs off John Leguizamo. Before he shit, he rips his underwear off and shows up to Spawn. He says every time someone farts, a demon gets his wings, which for some reason made me laugh.
That is a pretty good line.
And then there's this scene where he's just dressed up as a clown at a birthday party, like he's wearing clown makeup over his horrible clown makeup, and. Spawn shows up, so he shows up, or he walks over to Spawn, and he keeps calling him, like, Toasty, I think, and trying to imply that he's part of his act, which raises a lot of questions about what the fuck his act is, if it involves a, you know, horribly burned homeless man.
What was he even doing there?
He got hired to work the party.
<That's> so
stupid. He was a side job.
I was like, maybe he was there because he knew Spawn would be there, but that is a little much, like...
Well, he knew Spawn would be there, for sure. That was the whole reason he came back to Earth, was to see Wanda.
But anyways, doubling back. So the family are looking on in horror at this horror cloud, at this horribly burned up vagrant. And John Leguizamo looks up at them and goes, don't worry about it. It was just a freak accident with some Jiffy Pop. Which, you know, he gets some good lines. It's just they don't belong in this super grim and edgy movie about like heaven and hell and shit.
Well, and to be fair to John Leguizamo, too, in some of the jokes... Like, they don't land, like, none of them really land. But it's like the movie doesn't give him the timing for it. He's constantly just saying shit. There's no cuts, there's no like pauses for reaction or anything like that. It's just constant, just shit spewing out of his mouth. Some of it is funny in retrospect, but at the time of the movie, you just have no time to appreciate it because you're like, what the fuck? Like, I'm looking at Spawn's burned up face. And John Leguizamo is just kind of spattering out these weird jokes in the background. I don't know.
Yeah. Although the other thing that I enjoy about John Leguizamo, aside from the sheer, like, I'm going to try to sell this of him, is the other characters in this movie, I mean, they're a little bit scared of him, but they mostly seem irritated from him. So, like, I don't know if you would ever rewatch this movie, but if you'd for some reason decide to, watch Martin Sheen's face whenever John Leguizamo is talking. It's sort of a masterclass and I hate this fucking clown.
Do you guys think that John Leguizamo was just really annoying in real life and the actors aren't acting?
What if he was like super method on the role of the violator? Like he thought this was going to be his ticket to the big leagues.
Dude, honestly, I could see or I could believe if you told me that he did think that, because he put so much effort into this role. I don't know. He clearly was like trying really hard in this role. So like maybe he really thought that this movie is going to take off.
I mean, those toys were fucking huge in the 90s, and the comics line was pretty big business as well. It wasn't insane to think this could have been a franchise.
I feel like it could have if it had been like a well done movie.
Or like terrible in a more palatable way.
Yeah.
Anyways, Matt Bulge is still around, so there's plenty of
opportunities. There's always hell, man. And we haven't even seen heaven. What if they're assholes? They probably are, because this is the edgy 90s, so no one's allowed to be nice. Yeah. Anyways, you guys want to hit some low points aside from the ones we've already been discussing?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm not a fan of the Spawn character. I've read, I think, no Spawn comics, but I was like, I have been known to get drunk and read the Spawn Wikipedia page or look at the character designs. And I will say, I think that the Spawn character is singularly ill-used by this movie, which is incredible to me because Spawn is sort of a dumb edgelord concept from the 90s anyways. But you remember that line where the British guy who's like, he's an old Spawn, so he's mentoring Spawn on Spawn stuff?
Yeah, what was his name?
Cagliostro or something?
Yeah, Cagliostro. But he's like, be careful with your powers. When you drain them, you die. And then Spawn goes, no pain, no gain. And Cagliostro goes, you get it. And then it's never mentioned again. Yeah, that's like the central thing about Spawn is that he's got a limited number of uses of his powers. And when they fail, he'll die and go back to hell. And they don't like they. That should be sort of the ticking clock in this movie is him figuring that out and being like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have used them so much in the earlier scenes or whatever. And the clown constantly trying to like goad him into using them.
How does he recharge his powers?
I think it's like going. I don't. There's got to be a way because otherwise the character wouldn't be tenable. But I don't remember the Wikipedia article well enough to say. But still, that's they didn't actually use the central thing about Spawn. So. Bad job, movie.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to cut in with another low point, which kind of rides along with this, which is the entire plot. It makes no fucking sense. Like, we already talked about, like, how it doesn't make any damn sense. Like, they don't explain at all why they need Michael J. White as the leader of the Hell Army. But also, I don't understand what Violator's role is supposed to be. Because it would make sense if he's trying to goad him into using his powers so to use him up to send him back to hell or something, but that's not happening. And he's supposed to be working with Spawn, but instead he just seems to piss him off the whole time, and then they fight. And it's like, dude, aren't you guys on the same side, theoretically? Like, what are you doing attacking him? It makes no sense why they're in conflict, and then it's like halfway into the movie they fight and it's like, well, they never really worked together. You know, there's no redemption arc for Spawn. Like, you think that he's going to be kind of evil for a little bit. And
because
kind of
Hell picked him as, you know, its champion. So you assume he's a bad guy,
but he never has that low point. So it never feels like he earns a redemption.
It never seems like he needs a redemption really, aside from, I mean, he massacred 20 people, but the movie doesn't seem to think that that's that bad, though.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Cagliostro clearly kills things, too. Maybe
he says that he's a 500-year-old assassin, formerly for the King of Saxony.
Yeah,
and this is one line and never explored.
And he's clearly the good guy of the movie, so I don't know. There's a lot going on here that just, like, it doesn't really relate to each other or doesn't really have a central theme.
The clown was trying to set up the double cross, and I never really got why.
But there was never really a double cross.
I mean
he wanted Michael J. White to kill Martin Sheen, Sheen, so that the
it's
virus.
Martin, I'm just fucking around and bad with my Sheens.
So that he would die and release the virus when his heart stops. But why not just release the virus? I wasn't clear on that.
Why not just release the virus if it kills everyone?
Yeah, isn't that all he wanted?
That's a great question.
It seems like there has to be, they're like hinting, they never explain this, but it seems like they're trying to be like, well, Spawn has to do it for some reason, but no, maybe because that would damn him forever.
But if you're tricking Spawn into doing it.
Maybe you shouldn't tell him that that's your fucking
does
plan.
Does that really count? If, like, Spawn doesn't even know that a dude has a thing in his chest that'll automatically trigger weapons around the... Does that really count? Like,
Also, the okay, so Martin Sheen's ends up with this thing implanted in his heart where if it ever he ever dies, it will kill everyone on the Earth. And the way he ends up with this is the cloud goes, hey, you should have this thing implanted in your heart so that if you die, everyone on Earth will die. And Martin Sheen goes, that's a good idea. And then he goes and has open heart surgery.
Like, what doctor would agree to that?
Well, he's got a giant evil hat. Yeah. But why would he agree to that?
In Brazil, I think, would have no problem.
Like, the doctor would die too, though.
Oh, they wouldn't know about what it's hooked up to.
No, they do.
He says it.
Those guys do, but in a real scenario.
In a real scenario, there wouldn't be a demon cloud.
What? Yeah.
But, yeah, that's good screenwriting.
Well, my low point was when Spawn goes to hell and he's fighting the clown. And I think he, like, temporarily beats the clown. And then he discovers that he has this, like, AoE power. And he just starts, like, killing all of the Hell Army. I was like, what? You can't. Why do you have this power? That's a big jump. That's a big jump from barely understanding your powers to spewing out Hell Lightning. Minor to the actual everything.
Nah, I mean,
Raul has this
strange belief that the powers in movies should be balanced, and he will occasionally call for characters in movies to be nerfed.
I want them to be consistent.
We need a Spawn patch ASAP.
Yes, we do. No AoE.
Well, he could have the AoE, but he has to grind up to level 20 first.
Yeah, that is acceptable. But, I mean, he could barely use... He just learned chains, and now he's going to Hell Lightning. Like, come on.
And also, the people he's fighting appear to all be Spawns as well, which raises the question of why they don't just do that to him.
Oh, they were? I thought they were... I couldn't tell what they were.
They looked like him. I don't know if they actually had the same powers.
Yeah.
But Spawn was basically a walking immortal tank. So it was like there was never any stakes, it didn't feel like, because I guess the only stakes was like maybe somebody else might die.
Well, if his head gets cut off, he dies.
Yeah, they did clearly explain that his head gets cut off, he dies. But he has like invincible armor that could, like, they ran into him with a semi truck and he didn't get hurt at all.
Yeah. So speaking of the semi truck scene, why did the clown drop the necro goo? What was the?
He says that the point is just to annoy Spawn.
Exactly.
Raises a lot of questions about what
his
overall plan is.
What did he source necro goo? Like, so many questions here.
And then why is his goal to annoy Spawn? How does that help in any way?
In retrospect, that's so good. Like, I mean,
I don't want to get too nerdy.
Troll, like.
But if you think about it, the Emperor's plan in Return of the Jedi is kind of to annoy Luke until he turns to the dark side. But that doesn't.
Yeah, that's true, kind of.
But if that's what's going on, that they need to explicitly say that if Spawn gets too angry, he'll turn, you know, whatever the dark side thing here is.
Well, this is like if the Emperor, after every evil thing he does to Luke, he like made a troll face or like,
and farted on him
or like farted and made some pop culture reference. Like it would just be shockingly bizarre behavior from the Emperor. Like, and instead of like being like, I killed your friends, feel despair, it's like, I put a banana peel under your foot so you slipped, or like I don't know, attack some random homeless guy.
Your friends are dead at the disco. And so, you know, that would be about that is about the level that John Leguizamo is on as well.
But also, you know, in 5 seconds, think of like four more jokes in quotation marks, and he'll spew them all out. Like, that's just him the entire fucking movie.
Yeah. Another thing, this movie has a weird preoccupation with people eating out of the garbage. I don't know what's going on there, but it's strange. You got like three different characters who eat out of the trash.
There must be some name for the aesthetic from the 90s where they just like really wanted to show like some kind of like disgusting, like trash kind of imagery. You know what I mean? Like things that are like really dark and gross. And just like, I've seen other movies.
It's grimdark because it's too edgy though, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's not cyberpunk because it's not smart enough. It's just dumbass.
Yeah, there's nothing there that's like, this is the result of corporations or anything like that. It's literally just people eating out of garbage for whatever reason.
Yeah. And then some vague stuff about maybe the people at the top are like no good, but no real exploration of that.
Yeah, because I mean, in this movie, I guess Martin Sheen is kind of a bad guy, and is pretty powerful, but it doesn't try to say that he is like, you know, the root of all problems in the United States or anything like that.
A completely different problem I have with this film is that, I mean, you don't need to like be utterly consistent in the character's powers, but it would be nice if they kind of sketched out what Spawn could and couldn't do. You know, he's got these chains, he's got a living cape that can turn into whatever it wants to for some reason, and is rendered in terrible CGI. But then in the very last fight scene, he also, for some reason, has x-ray vision that's also lasers, and is weird.
Well, he seemed to be able to do anything he wanted.
Yeah.
Or could imagine.
Yeah.
Which is why it never felt like he ever had an issue with anyone. Like, Malabogia was just a giant lizard, essentially. Not that intimidating to somebody who can turn into spikes.
The other thing is that, like, Malbolgia is rendered as a very bad CGI demon, right?
Yes.
But yeah.
For some reason, they don't bother doing, like, lip sync on him.
Yeah, they don't. He just kind of has slight... It kind of reminds you of StarCraft, where, like, the mouths move, but it doesn't line up with people talking.
Yeah.
It reminded me of a panting dog, because it just kind of moves up and down a bit. But no real lip action.
Yeah.
Anyways. It was pretty incredible. I'm glad I got to see that CGI, honestly.
It's kind of amazing. I kind of wish that they had just embraced the shitty CGI and just had shitty CGI action scenes, but you could see what was going on.
Yeah. Instead, you get in the production notes and in Wikipedia, as visual effects were an important production concern.
Were they? Were they really?
Were they? The scale of the visual effects led New Line to continually increase the project's budget. What?
Well, probably, you know, dude, what was the CGI like this, you know, the contemporary CGI?
Yeah.
Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park was basically no CGI.
No. They have a couple of CGI in it. They do a good job so you don't notice it. But you know that, like, hero shot scene where they're out looking at all of the dinosaurs, like, in their natural habitat before everyone starts getting eaten? Basically, all of those are CGI.
Oh, okay. But they're way off in the distance.
Yeah, and also, this was, like, for some reason, I don't know why, but people in the 90s, like, couldn't, CGI just looked more real to them. But because Jurassic Park was so new, that weird phenomena hadn't set in yet. So Spielberg was actually, like, comparing it against other stuff and other options and picking it when it was the best one, as opposed to, you know, like now, for instance, where it's just, it is the default, unless you're trying to like make some weird point, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
That is one thing about this movie that kind of bummed me out. This movie isn't like historically important, but I think it is kind of like the harbinger of the everything should be CGI, no matter if it's good for it to be CGI movement that has completely taken over cinema now. And it reminded me that we're probably never going to actually have like effects work that looks better than, you know, the 80s and early 90s, because no one's really trying to do that. They're just throwing more money into computers now. Bummed me out.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It is bummer, but
computers will be real.
I do think that practical effects are making a slight comeback.
God, I hope so. But I mean, even like miniatures work, or like that cool stuff, like the cloud effects they do on Blade Runner and shit, where it was just like weird stuff in a tank and they'd like light it just so to get the right effect. It just looks so much better. Yeah, well.
Yeah, well, I mean, as we keep going forward, CGI will get closer and closer to reality.
Maybe. Anyways, anyone got any final parting shots on this poor, misbegotten film?
God, I don't know what else I can say about this movie.
Yeah.
I hope they make a new one, resurrect the franchise.
What would you guys think about a reboot with Michael J. White?
with okay. Michael J. White?
You got to keep Michael J. White, obviously, and you got to not slather him in weird makeup. I think that, I guess the problem is, I think the way that this would have to work is you cut Violator and you make it like a completely like straight movie, like no irony. You tone it down a little bit so it's not quite so edgelord, but it's just like it has no idea that it could ever be funny, and it treats the story completely straight. And I think you could get a good movie out of it like that, where it's just an especially grim and dark, like R-rated superhero movie. Although I guess I'm kind of almost describing Blade 2, and I don't know. Maybe they should just re-release Blade 2.
That's a pretty good one.
It's kind of what this movie was trying to be.
Yeah, I think that the one positive about this movie is that it made way for Blade, which was basically did what this movie tried to do, but way better.
Yeah.
The Blade series just worked, whereas this one didn't. I think that if they remade this movie, I think it could work. I would watch anything with Michael J. White. I think he's just an incredible actor. And give him some martial arts. That's really important. Make it serious. Don't have a fucking clown in the movie. What were you guys thinking on that one? And I think also just like, don't freaking have him be so, like, make everything so easy for him. Like, he's against hell. He should be the underdog. He shouldn't be the most powerful person in the movie the whole time.
And another thing you got to do is you have to at some point make it look like he is possibly maybe tempted a little bit by this whole you should lead the armies of hell thing. Because as it is, the devil kind of keeps offering it to him, sort of, and he just kind of shrugs and moves on with his life and doesn't even seem like he's considering it. And
he says at one point, I'll do anything for Wanda. That's as close as you get to him saying yes.
But then, you know, they never think to, well, what if we somehow set it up so that he has to protect? I guess they do that thing where the Violator pretends to be Wanda, but it's unclear what the point of that is.
Yeah, it made no sense. Like, I guess he thought if he killed Martin Sheen, killed her, then he would kill Martin Sheen and that would end the world.
But then we're back to the, why can't they just end the world? Why do they need all this fluff?
I have no clue.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think all your ideas were good, but we obviously need a Michael J. White succubus scene, which could range from half to maybe three quarters of the movie. I think that would really pull it together.
They really need it. They really need him to hang dong for this one.
Yes. I mean, if he wants to, I'm down. I bet, you know, I don't want to get too gross, but he seems like the kind of man who's got very BDE, so I'd be kind of interested to see if he lives up to it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
I guess that's what 90% of America wants to see. Michael J. White's dong.
I think so.
Michael J. White's bear cock and balls.
I enjoy that Rahul's suggestion was essentially, these are all good ideas, but what if it was a porno?
Guys. Spawn is the name of the porno.
Okay, let's see.
Does he fuck the demon because he's evil? I don't know. It can just be a regular girl.
You can't have sex and be good. Like, if you're having sex, you're evil. Like, and if there's grunge music in the background, evil. Like,
No, there's got to be like metal.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
you know what? Music. I googled Spawn porn, and that was a mistake.
Yeah, that feels like it might not be related to the comic Spawn.
I mean, imagine what he could do with his suit. Like,
there's hentai because, of course, there's hentai. But I mean, they don't appear to have actually made a video. Oh, good. This was a good use of my time on this earth.
Don't act like you haven't already searched it.
Yeah, that's probably your favorites, isn't it? Just your bookmarks bar.
It's just all really screen.
Yeah, we look at Lawrence's screen and we can see all of the links are purple because they're already
off the His DeviantArt.
Like, oh no, guys, I accidentally Googled this. Why are they all clicked? Shut up.
I use the special incognito mode to confuse people. It makes it look like I'm a massive pervert. It's fine. Anyways, you guys want to hit a quick would you rather?
Yeah.
I got a fun one.
Okay.
So the question is, if you were an animal, what animal would you be? But instead of, we're each going to go and say someone else. Huh? Okay. So, like, I will start and I will say what animal Rahul would be.
Okay. Who am I going to do? Or Ronald, well, I guess. Just so it goes all the way around.
Yeah, yeah. You do Ronald, and then Ronald does me. So, Rahul, you're a being of pure chaos, and you revel in suffering, but you also have a certain sort of nobility about you, while also being kind of intensely stupid in a way you won't quite admit.
So, okay, wait, let me guess what you're going to say.
Okay.
The T-virus.
Yep, you got it, Rahul. I mean, I was going to say you're a bobcat, but yeah, Rahul is the T-virus.
That's an animal, right?
I mean, why not?
Drinks water, or soy.
It water. Drinks water, it breathes air, it gives you psychic powers. All the things animals do. Anyways, Rahul, what kind of animal is Ronald?
Oof, this is hard. Let me think.
Classic T-virus, stopping to think things through.
All right, I'll go next.
Okay. I'd say Ronald's dangerous if you accidentally touch him on the ocean floor. otters eat him.
That's true.
Yeah, and he's like super spiky, and he looks like he doesn't even look like an earthly animal, honestly.
Oh, let me guess what you're gonna say then.
What is he?
The T-virus.
Volcano.
God.
A volcano full of T-virus.
You're a sea urchin.
Oh, so close. You can see how I get those mixed up.
Yeah, it's common.
Anyways, Ronald, what animal am I?
Okay, well, let's think about this. Lawrence is, you know, pretty stubborn. So often doesn't listen to me when I tell him to do stuff. And constantly bleats at me about things. He's really good at like moving long distances and pretty much ignores any terrain in his way.
He's a sheep.
And even when I tell him like, dude, don't run 2 half marathons in 2 days. It's really terrible for you. He does it anyways. Just like the T-virus.
Yeah, that's right. Oops, all T-virus edition.
So you can see exactly where I came to the conclusion.
T-virus is such a mind virus.
I mean, there's a lot of different strains of the T-virus.
So the real T-virus was in our minds. Yeah. I think you were going to say I was a goat before you decided to do comedy. So that's cool.
No. What else bleats? It could be a sheep as well.
Well, I was going to say goat. But also, I feel like a bear works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you are kind of big and furry and kind of yell at people for no reason.
And my basic desire is to just be left alone so I could lie down. And no one lets me do that. So I'm one of the bears you see at the circus.
A circus bear?
Yeah. Constantly being prodded to do tricks.
You're not social enough to be a circus bear. Maybe an ex-circus bear. You can do the tricks, but you live alone now.
And then the circus comes back and drags me back in for one last job.
One last job. The payout was too good.
I love how in the beginning, Spawn is like, he's like aligning his rockets, and he has to align them like exactly at the people coming out of the plane.
And then he pulls the trigger.
These are like fucking these are explosives. Like,
he pulls the trigger and just everything explodes. And it's like, why did you need to do
why
that?
Why did you aim anything? Like,
it's like, why didn't you just use a sniper rifle? Because then he gets all mad. He's like, there weren't supposed to be civilians. It's like why didn't you use a gun then?
How like, could there not be casualties? Yeah, you blew up half an airport.
So much stuff. Like, of course there's civilians there.
It's like, you know what? Maybe you are evil.
That, you know, negligence can be evil too, bud.
He's either evil or stupid. It's kind of one of the two. Yeah. Anyways, you guys want to hit some recommendations and cautions?
Let's do it.
Okay, Ronald, you're up.
I'm up first. Okay. All right, first off, my recommendation this week is The Umbrella Academy. I am joining the group a little late on this one. It came out a while ago. I think a new season just started. It's not my favorite thing, so it's a cautious recommendation, but it's very stylish. It's fun. I like the characters. It's a little pretentious, very full of itself, but I enjoyed it well enough to give it a recommendation. And I had a caution, and now I'm not thinking of it. So somebody else go.
Okay, we'll come back to you on that. So I'm going to recommend a band. Now, this is very out of character for me because I don't actually like music very much. I like individual songs, but if you just pull a song out of a hat, play it for me, the odds of me liking it are pretty low. But there is one band that I quite enjoy. They have broken up. They're called The Paper Chase. They formed in 1998 and dissolved in like 2009, give or take. Released 5 records, the best one of which is 2006's Now You Are One of Us. They are very, very hard to describe from their Wikipedia page. The Paper Chase has produced a combination of discordant melody and jagged noise pop, a jagged structure of avant-garde jazz, noise, indie, and punk. Their main thing that they love, though, is just kind of fucking with the audience. So, like, they'll either have a song that makes you intensely uneasy, or they'll have a song that's like big, anthemic, and hooky, and then you go read the lyrics and it turns out that it's like about a dude stalking and possibly murdering someone or whatever. It's very hard to describe, but I really would urge you to check them out. In particular, their two best songs for my money are You'll Never Take Me Alive and We Know Where You Sleep, both off the album that I previously mentioned, Now You Are One of Us. So give it a listen. It may not be to your taste, but I really enjoy them. Yeah. And for my caution, I bruised my rib while I was out riding my bicycle to deal with the fact that I can't run anymore for a while because I damaged my ankle. And it sucks. And it means that I can't run because running with a bruised rib sucks. And yeah, don't bruise your ribs. It's awful. I did get a day off work, but it wasn't worth it. Yeah, so be careful. Don't fall rib first on things. Anyways. Rahul.
All right. I have one thing to recommend. So I don't really love Eric Andre, but I like watching like 2 minutes of his skits because they're just so bizarre and awesome. But there's one in particular where he's interviewing a woman named Lauren Conrad, and he throws up on the table, and then he starts eating his throw up.
Jesus Christ.
And the girl's just like, nope, nope, nope. It just leaves.
I mean,
so good.
I feel bad for the people who go on his show initially, but at this point, you have to watch.
It's going to be some insanity. Yeah. I was not expecting that, though, I will admit.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's still hilarious, but I don't feel that bad for him anymore.
My favorite thing Eric Andre does is very occasionally the guest, instead of just, you know, hard knowing him, will try to play along. I think Dolph Lundgren did when he was on. And of course, Eric Andre takes this as an opportunity to just try to see like what the worst thing he could get the guest to say or do was, to the point where he got that woman to... A woman said that Margaret Thatcher had girl power. So then he started asking her about the girl power of the death squads she had. It's great. But yeah, very funny man in 3 minute bursts. Hard to take longer than that.
It just gets surreal after a while.
Even the 3 minute bursts are surreal. But I tried to watch one of his stand ups and it was like, I don't know. It was too much. I guess it just wasn't my style of stand up. Like I'm trying to think of the too Eric Andre, I guess. Too big of a dose of it.
A big dose of vitamin A.
He's not enough man for him.
No, I'm really not.
Yeah. Anyways, Ronald, did you remember what your caution was?
Oh yeah, it was a light caution because it wasn't terrible, but I just didn't really like it that much. It was In the Line of Fire, starring Clint Eastwood. I don't think I already talked about this on this podcast, did I?
I don't think so.
It has Clint Eastwood and John Malkovich. Basically, it's about a secret service guy, that played by Clint Eastwood, trying to stop John Malkovich from killing the president. And it's just, I don't know. It's just not that interesting. It's stuff you've seen 100 times before. Everyone does a pretty good performance, but it wasn't a super engaging movie because it was like you knew what was coming in most of the spots. Nothing was really a huge surprise, and just not up my alley.
Fair enough. And Rahul, do you have a plug for us?
No plug this time, boys.
Okay, so instead, I'm going to close out by reading the lyrics to "Now You're," or sorry, the song listings from "Now You Are One of Us" by The Paper Chase. But I'll like fade out while it's going. So before I do that, from all of us here at Bad Time Radio, don't worship Satan. It's bad for you. So it's out there and it's going to get you. We know where you sleep. The kids will grow up to be assholes. Wait until I get my hands on you. You'll never get me alive.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I was gonna gather it.